Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Right now, though, let's just find out what is happening with this report that was released yesterday. It is the Judicial Commission of Inquiry into State Capture Report, Part 1. Part 2 is due end of January, Part 3 end of February. And we've asked Daniel Silk, who's a political economy analyst and futurist, to unpack it for us. Good afternoon, Daniel. How are you?
Yes, I'm very good. Happy to be with you and compliments of the festivities
and,
to you.
And to you too. I always love speaking to you. I love speaking to smart people. Daniel, can you just unpack this part one report for us? What are the key takeaways?
How long do you have? There are 867 pages to this report, and it's a lot of unpacking, I must tell you.
It is a lot. What are the salient points? What are the main issues that it raises?
Look, I think you've got to firstly look at this report, as you've correctly said, in conjunction with the two follow-ups, which will be then the complete Zondo Commission tome, which will be available probably by the end of February. I think we're seeing two aspects to this report. One is the specific investigation into the personal conduct of individuals contributing to state capture. So we've seen some of that in this first report released last night, particularly dealing with the interventions at SARS and the attempts to gain control over SARS. And also we've seen specific mention of malfeasance and very poor decision-making at South African Airways. So those are the two big issues that came out of the first report. But there will be additional issues pertaining to many other aspects and departments that were caught up in state capture going forward. And then there will be a whole section, no doubt, on recommendations from Judge Zondo pertaining to how to change the way government does business, more procedural recommendations. But we're in the business now of beginning to finger those that the commission feels has been directly responsible for state capture, and a number of names were mentioned in this report last night.
A question that I've long thought about, you know, it's one thing having the Zondo Commission and these reports into the administration of, you know, Jacob Zuma's leadership. But our current president was the deputy. He was part of that administration. You know, do you think it's possible that one could be a deputy and not know what was going on?
Yeah, you know, as I've said, there are errors of commission where you assisted in malfeasance, and there are errors of omission where you perhaps just removed yourself and looked from the sidelines and were not directly involved, but nevertheless you saw it happen in front of you. Now the question really is whether President Ramaphosa can be accused of being part of this particular process, or as he has tried to explain in his own evidence before the Zondo Commission, although he was a bystander, it was certainly not his intent. He was not participatory in the state capture allegations and malfeasance. And ultimately, he was more of a moral conscience. He tried to distance himself very specifically from the sort of the individual fingering that has been done of certain individuals. It's going to be very difficult for President Ramaphosa to manage this particular process because, in part, he has been implicated, perhaps more as a bystander than being an active participant in state capture. But he now has to manage, ultimately, the reporting of this report. He has to manage the further investigations that probably will be undertaken by the Hawks and the National Prosecuting Authority. And ultimately, what he really has to manage is his own political party and the fallout that can occur as a result of increasing strains and tensions within the ANC. So I have to say, for the president, he should really keep as far away as possible from this report, and he should let the independent agencies of the state, the Hawk and the NPA in particular, take the matters further when it comes to real investigations. The last thing South Africa needs is for President Ramaphosa to be seen as both a player and a referee in this game. And it's the independent institutions that are going to have to decide whether he and whether others need further investigation.
It's a very interesting time that we find ourselves. Do you think, or how long do you think it'll take us to recover economically from the corruption?
Well, the first thing is you can't recover economically unless you have full accountability. This report is one step of the way to getting accountability for what's undermined South Africa for the last decade or so. If you can begin a process of bringing to book those that are implicated in a real and credible way, politically risky it is indeed, but nevertheless, if you can, then I think you can almost, you know, set the scene for economic policy changes, structural economic reform that we need in South Africa. But you need to have a level playing field. You need ethical governance. You need to start from that particular base. And if you sweep under the carpet many of these allegations, if it's sort of second and third rung leadership that get the pay the legal price, but the top dogs don't, you will find that you simply create another opportunity and avenue for state capture to continue in different ways. So even before you look at a timeline for economic recovery, you need very specific accountability on all of these issues. And my own view is that we've lost about a decade in South Africa as a result of state capture. The lack of economic growth and the wastage of resources, you know, I would say sets us back about 10 years or so. But you can recover quicker than that if your policy framework is good. And for your policy framework to be good, you've got to start from the basis of an ethical administration. And that's where we are now, fighting to see whether this is the beginnings of an ethical administration for South Africa.
Yeah, ethical administration only comes if there are consequences if you are not ethical. And as South Africans, we have a terrible, terrible history of holding people accountable. I mean, we're still going back to the TRC, to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Not one arrest has happened. Daniel, we don't have a very good history.
I agree with you entirely, Kathy. We have acted in this country with impunity. We have never feared, from a leadership perspective, the law taking its course. And we've seen, even in very recent examples, for example, the unrest in KwaZulu-Natal in July of last year, where, you know, the country almost was brought to its knees. We've had very little information and very little accountability just on that, let alone the sabotage of Eskom over a period of months and years, the attacks on infrastructure. Accountability is not big in our politics. It was never big before 1994. It hasn't been big post-1994. And I think what we really need, and it's a controversial thing to say, Kathy, but I think what we need is almost, you know, you need a fresh government. You need the government of the day to say, listen, we are going to resign en masse as the government, not resign as a political party in power for the ANC, but for the existing ministers to say, look, we want a reconstituted cabinet with fresh faces who are not bystanders or onlookers or even participants in the recent wrongdoing. Yeah. But I don't think that's going to happen. That's pie-in-the-sky stuff. The best we can hope for is that we have proper, independent institutions who can take these matters further. The track record is not good. I agree. The examples in the very recent past, let alone what you've mentioned regarding the Truth and Reconciliation, but just under the Ramaphosa administration, has been weak, to put it mildly. I'm hoping for a change here, but I'm not going to crack open the bottle of champagne just yet.
Yeah, you and me both, because the most accurate predictor, Daniel, of future behavior is past behavior. And, you know, using the past history with the government and the ANC, it's not promising. But you know what? You and I will crack open that bottle of champagne one day. Daniel,
we will.
So we've got to keep the hope alive, because it's just the substrate for life. Daniel Silk, thank you so much, and all the best for 2022. Thanks for making time.
Pleasure. We'll speak again.
All right. God bless. Bye bye.